You ever look at a crowded market and wonder which company actually has the manufacturing chops to deliver? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hangar, and this week I want to talk about what might be the most underestimated aircraft program in the entire urban air mobility space. Eve Air Mobility. If you haven't been paying close attention, I don't blame you. The eVTOL headlines tend to go to the flashier names, but Eve has something almost none of its competitors can match, and it's not a spec sheet. It's a parent company that has been building and certifying airplanes for over 50 years. Embraer. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've got a milestone worth remembering, your first solo, your instrument rating, your CFI check ride, they make aviation challenge coins that mark those moments the way they deserve to be marked. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Eve Air Mobility was spun out of Embraer's innovation lab, Embraer X, and went public through a special purpose acquisition company back in 2022. The aircraft itself is a lift plus cruise design, meaning it uses dedicated rotors for vertical takeoff and landing and a separate propulsion system for forward flight. 8 lift rotors on top, a pusher propeller in the back, and fixed wings for cruise. If that architecture sounds familiar, it should. It's the most conventional layout in the eVTOL world, and that is entirely by design. Here's what most people miss about Eve's approach. They are not trying to reinvent the airplane. They are trying to certify one, and there's a massive difference between those two goals. The company has been running its certification campaign with NAC, Brazil's National Civil Aviation Agency, in parallel with the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, validation pathway. That dual-track strategy matters because Brazil and the United States have bilateral aviation safety agreements, which means certification in one country creates a streamlined path to approval in the other. Eve is using that to its full advantage. Now, what makes this week interesting for the program is the broader context of where their flight test campaign sits as we head into summer 2026. The full-scale prototype has been flying. They've been accumulating envelope expansion data, testing the transition from hover to wing-borne flight and back again, which is the single hardest thing any eVTOL has to prove it can do safely and repeatedly. That transition phase, going from rotors holding you up to wings holding you up, is where the engineering gets genuinely difficult. You're shifting from one flight regime to another, and the control laws have to manage that handoff seamlessly. A passenger can never feel a lurch. A gust can never catch the aircraft in a half and half state, where neither the rotors nor the wings are fully in command. Eve's fly-by-wire system has to manage all of that, and it has to do it the same way on the 10,000th flight as it does on the 10th. The data tells an interesting story here. Eve has been running thousands of hours of simulation alongside the physical flight tests, using what they call their Urban Air Traffic Management System, which is a separate software product designed to integrate eVTOL operations into existing airspace. They're not just building the vehicle, they're building the air traffic layer that makes fleets of these vehicles manageable. That's an often overlooked piece of the puzzle. You can have the most brilliantly engineered aircraft in history, but if you can't safely sequence 40 of them into a vertiport during morning rush, you don't have a transportation system. You have a very expensive helicopter. Let me talk about the power system for a minute, because this is where the engineering choices reveal the strategy. Eve is running on a distributed electric propulsion architecture, multiple motors, multiple battery packs, with enough redundancy that you can lose power sources and still maintain controlled flight. The target range is around 60 nautical miles with reserves, which sounds modest until you realize that covers the vast majority of the urban and suburban routes. These aircraft are designed to fly Sao Paulo to Guarulhos Airport, Manhattan to JFK, downtown to the suburbs. These are short hops, 15 to 30 miles, and 60 nautical miles of range gives you a very comfortable margin. The battery technology is the constraint everyone in this industry is working against, and Eve has been straightforward about that. They've designed the aircraft so that as battery energy density improves, range improves without a fundamental redesign. The airframe is the constant. The batteries are the variable. That's smart engineering because it means you don't need a breakthrough in battery chemistry to start operations. You need batteries that are good enough today, with the knowledge that they'll be better tomorrow. Now, the competitive landscape this summer is genuinely crowded. You've got multiple eVTOL programs at various stages of flight testing and certification, but Eve's advantage keeps coming back to Embraer. When you've built the E-Jet family, the Phenom business jets, the KC-390 military tanker, you know how to run a production line. You know how to manage a supply chain. You know how to support an aircraft in service for 20 or 30 years. None of the startup eVTOL companies have that institutional knowledge, and you can't fake it. Embraer has committed manufacturing capacity at their facilities in Brazil, and Eve has announced partnerships for additional production in other markets. The company's backlog stands at somewhere around 3,000 letters of intent, representing billions in potential revenue. Now, I want to be honest with you, letters of intent are not firm orders. They're not deposits. They're expressions of interest with varying degrees of commitment. But 3,000 units from operators around the world tells you the demand signal is real, even if the final number will be smaller. The honest timeline question is the one every pilot should be asking. When do passengers actually fly in these things? Eve has targeted initial commercial operations for 2026 into 2027, starting in selected cities. That's ambitious. Certification timelines in aviation have a long and storied history of slipping to the right. The FAA does not rush, nor should it. But Eve's dual-track approach with ANIC Eve gives them a plausible path to initial operations in Brazil before the FAA process is complete, with U.S. operations following. What should you be watching this week and into the summer? Three things. First, flight test progress. Every envelope expansion point Eve publishes, every new flight condition they demonstrate, is a data point that either supports or undermines their certification timeline. The transition flights between hover and cruise are the ones to watch most closely. Second, battery supplier announcements. Eve hasn't locked in a single battery supplier publicly for the production aircraft. That decision will tell you a lot about the real range, the real payload, and the real economics. Third, infrastructure partnerships. Eve's urban air traffic management software is being tested with civil aviation authorities in multiple countries. If those trials go well, it removes one of the biggest non-aircraft barriers to commercial operations. The vehicle is only half the problem. The system is the other half. The broader question for general aviation pilots listening to this is whether any of this matters to you personally, and I think it does, for a reason that has nothing to do with air taxis. The fly-by-wire control laws, the battery management systems, the distributed electric propulsion architectures being developed for eVTOL aircraft are going to filter into every segment of aviation over the next decade. The autopilot in your Skylane in 2035 will be better because of what Eve and its competitors are learning right now. The electric trainer you might rent at your local flight school in 2030 will exist because this generation of aircraft proved the propulsion works. Aviation technology has always cascaded downward from the most demanding applications to the rest of the fleet. The glass cockpit started in airliners and ended up in Cessna 172s. Fly-by-wire started in fighters and ended up in business jets. Distributed electric propulsion is starting in eVTOL, and it will end up everywhere. That's the real story this week. Not just one company's flight test campaign, but what that campaign means for the airplane you'll be flying 10 years from now. Most of what I pulled together today comes from Eve Air Mobility's published flight test updates, Embraer's investor briefings, and the FAA's ongoing eVTOL certification guidance. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Go fly something!